Well, good morning, everyone. Well, it's always a joy to come together Sunday morning and to be with fellow believers in Christ. And so this morning I'll be preaching in Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. And it really is about the motive of the heart. You know, even as Christians, we all know that we can sin without even thinking about it. I mean, it's probably safe to say that some of us have already sinned before coming to church this morning. You know, during a recent trip to Florida, the family went out to a restaurant to eat. And while we were there, sitting at the table, one of my daughters, if you know me, you know who it is, who has a phone always attached to her hand. And so we're sitting at the table, and there she is on her phone. And so I tell her to get off of her phone. You know, this is family time. It's time to be with one another. And she gets off the phone, and a few minutes later, my phone chimes. And I'm starting to look at my messages and my emails, and I look up, and my daughter just have those beady eyes looking at me. And I realize, oh, I'm a hypocrite. You know, it's easy to be a hypocrite, and I think that we all can understand that because we all are hypocrites in one way or another. You know, recently, my wife and I had an opportunity to talk with one of our family members, and we invited them to join us here at church. And I'm sure you can know what the response may have been. It was a typical response: I don't go to church because it's filled with hypocrites. And so I was reminded of myself. Church is filled with sinners and all types of sinners. I, for one, I'm guilty as charged, and I must admit that hypocrisy is just one of those sins on my list. But the reason why we come to church is to worship our Lord and our God. It's so that we also can have fellowship with one another. How wonderful it was to greet each other this morning. We can encourage one another. We can pray for one another. We learn about God's word. And so, in every sense of the way, church, it is a hospital for sinners. And so it's a great place for hypocrites to come. So remember that the next time somebody gives you that line. So this morning, my prayer is that we can marvel in Christ and in his teachings at the Sermon on the Mount. So we just got through covering chapter 5, and in chapter 5 we learned about the theology of the rabbis that had passed down for generations these traditions, these false teachings that misled the people. It misled them into believing in this false religion. And so the people were trusting in their inner moral righteousness by following the law, as well as these oral traditions from the past rabbis. However, Jesus at the end of 5 says something that is absolutely stunning, and he gives us the standard of righteousness in order to get into the kingdom of heaven. And that standard is to be perfect as the heavenly Father is perfect. The point being that none of us throughout the history of the world will ever reach that standard of perfection that the Lord requires. The standard of righteousness, it delivers a fatal blow really to all legalistic religions and religions out there that are false. It's impossible to keep the law. The only one who is perfectly righteous is Jesus Christ. And so this points us directly to him. He is our hope for salvation. And so in this next chapter, Jesus points out the flawed religious system of the Jews. And so he points out these teachings that have come from the Pharisees and their hypocritical religious practices. And so he gives us these three illustrations. And these illustrations, we're going to go through them. It's going to take us some time. But these illustrations include giving, prayer, and fasting. And you can find them in verses 1 through 18. And so this morning, we're going to begin by looking at the first of these illustrations, which is about giving with a right heart attitude. So if you'll open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, or you can just follow along as I read these, God's word. And so this is what Jesus says. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we just praise you, for you are almighty, you are all-powerful, you are sovereign, you are Lord of lords and King of kings. You are in control of all, dear Lord. Who are we that we should come before you, that you would be mindful of us? And so, dear Lord, we are so grateful for your abundant mercy and grace, that you would send your precious Son to die for sinners such as ourselves. Thank you, dear Lord, for your sacrifice. And so I pray, because of all that you have given to us, that we would faithfully serve you and that we would be the light of Christ for others to see how good and how great you are. Dear Lord, we love you, we praise you, thank you for the cross, and we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. So Jesus begins this next chapter, that is chapter 6, with a warning. And the first thing that he says is, beware. Kingdom citizens are called to be vigilant and on guard, watchful of the motives of our heart. That is to say, something dangerous has the potential to mislead us if we're not watchful of our heart. And so I ask you, why do we do righteous acts? Why do we do these good things? And that really is an important question in our study today. Do you do righteous deeds to demonstrate how good you are? Because the Bible teaches us that human righteousness is imperfect and it's impossible to be saved through these righteous deeds. Isaiah 64:6 says, "We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like polluted garments." These are garments that have been soiled, and that's how our righteous deeds are seen. There is no one who is righteous, not even one. No person can be made right with God by trying to follow religious rules or good works alone. And know this, the heart is deceitful above all things, and it is desperately sick. That means that it's easy to deceive ourselves into thinking that I'm a good person. And so we put that character on display for others to see. For this very reason, we all need to examine ourselves and to check the motive of our heart. When you do these righteous deeds, is it because you're seeking recognition and applause from others? Righteous deeds should not be done for show or to receive that kind of recognition. Because if this is the case, you're only seeking to glorify yourself. And that's exactly what the Pharisees were doing. They were giving alms to the poor for the purpose of being praised for their generosity. Look at how good I am for all that I'm giving. They would pray in public to be seen by others for the purpose of appearing pious. Oh, listen to their lengthy prayers. They sure look holy. And then, when they would fast, they would disfigure their faces. Oh, woe is me. Look how poor I am. I'm so devoted to the Lord, I'm not eating. Righteous deeds done for the purpose of showing off before men. Nothing more than a theatrical spectacle is what it is. These fake acts are not the truth. It's all pretend for the purpose of impressing others, seeking for others to put you up on the pedestal and to say, I hope I can be as good as they are someday. These kinds of self-righteous acts are truly self-serving and a way to worship yourself. These acts are nothing more than a fictitious play, and listen to this, that will never qualify a person to become part of God's kingdom. You will never enter the kingdom of heaven based upon an act that is not true. For this very reason, we need to pay close attention to this warning that Christ is giving to us about practicing our righteous deeds. And so at the end of verse 1, Jesus makes this sobering statement that those who practice these hypocritical acts of righteousness will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Seeking glory for ourselves is a futile attempt to rob God of his glory. In Isaiah 42:8, God states, I am the Lord, that is my name, and I will not give my glory to another. God's glory, it's his honor, and he's not going to share it, not with anyone. He's the one who's done all the work that's required for salvation. Therefore, he should receive all of the glory and the honor. And so at the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord exposes the hypocritical religious practices of the Pharisees who do not honor the Lord and give glory to him. They only are seeking to glorify themselves. And so as I told you earlier, Jesus uses three illustrations to point out these religious hypocritical acts. So the first is about giving, which we're going over today in verses 1 through 4. And so the Pharisees would sound their trumpets when they would give to the poor to draw the crowds so they could receive that recognition. And then the second illustration is about praying. And they would go into the streets and they would pray very loudly and they would make their prayers very lengthy, all for the purpose of drawing that attention to themselves, to be admired by others. And then, of course, there was the fasting, where they would disfigure their faces, letting everybody know how devout they were. And this is in verses 16 through 18. And so we'll be covering these illustrations over the next several months. And all of these religious practices that the Pharisees were doing were nothing more than self-worship. It's idolatry. So the Pharisees were pretending to be righteous before other people, all for the purpose of appearing to be holy. They were prideful in this performance, showing off what appeared to be dedicated worship, all done for the appearance that they were good enough to enter into God's kingdom. The Pharisees, they loved the public recognition. And so they dressed the part, they acted the part, they loved the prestigious seats and social events, and they loved being praised by others as holy men. And you know what? The people thought that they were the most holy men in the land. They believed it. But in John 18:44, this is what Jesus said about the Pharisees. You are of your father, the devil. That's eye-opening. That's an eye-opening statement. And the truth of the matter is, it's easy to look at the Pharisees and say that they were horrible and that they were prideful and that they were self-righteous. That's why we associate the word hypocrite with the Pharisee. But be warned that it's easy to be blinded, not realizing at times that we seek our own recognition just as the Pharisees did. And so the warning of being a hypocrite applies to you and me just as well. Consider, do you seek attention from others? Maybe when you give money to the church, when you pray, when you fast. You know, even as a pastor, sometimes you seek recognition. Serving on the worship team, teaching in the children's church, even cleaning the church. Oh, Pastor Joe's going to be really happy with me. I did a good job. It's so easy to perform these kind of deeds and to seek the approval of others. So I ask you, and this is something to consider. Have you ever come to church and you put on the Christian mask, acting a certain way, but then when you get home, you take off that mask and you're a different person? You know, I would say this. That's actually a great question to ask your spouse or somebody who's close to you. Am I the same person at church that I am at home? Because if the answer is no, you're putting on a show. So we all need to check our hearts. When I do good deeds, what is the motive of my heart? Are the things that I do for the glory of me, or is it for the glory of God? And so Jesus warns us that if you are doing these righteous deeds for the sake of being seen by others, you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. And the Lord will certainly not give a reward to those who are trying to receive glory for themselves. False acts, these false pretense deeds, it's an attempt to take glory that is due to the Lord. And so we need to ask, what then is a Christian to do? So Matthew 6:2 says, Jesus says this, thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. And so anytime we give, don't go blow a trumpet to attract attention to yourselves. Now, of course, we're not actually going to blow a trumpet. I certainly hope not. There's no reason why anybody needs to know what you're giving. What you do, it should be willingly. It should be done cheerfully. It is between you and the Lord. To seek recognition from others is simply a hypocritical act. And so let's define the word hypocrisy. It is to pretend to be righteous, to have moral beliefs that you don't actually follow in practice. It is a show in which you say one thing, but you do another for the purpose of being recognized. You act as if you're a good person, practicing righteousness, but you do it for the recognition from others rather than giving the glory to God. The word hypocrite actually comes from the Greek word hypokritos, which refers to a stage actor, someone who is playing a role. So actors during Jesus' time, they would wear a mask up on stage. And so this imagery, it gives us a picture of a stage actor wearing this mask, pretending to be a different character. But this also can apply to us here at church. When you put on a spiritual mask, pretending to be righteous, yet the actions are pretend. It's an act. It's a deceptive performance done for the purpose of drawing that attention to yourselves. And so, both ancient play actors as well as modern actors, I mean, we've seen it on TV, these actors, they have a desire to be celebrities that are loved by the people. And they dress to impress. I mean, some of these outfits they're out there, but they do it for attention. They deeply desire then to be presented with that Oscar for their excellent performance. They want the attention. And throughout biblical history, people have played the part of being spiritual play actors as well. They act like they know and they worship the Lord, but their devotion is empty. And so let us consider some biblical examples. So the first example is in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Brother Norm just read about this true story about Ananias and Sapphira, who sold a piece of land, and they pretended to give all of the money to the apostles. This couple lied about their giving, and they kept back part of the money for themselves. And so Peter asked Ananias, "Why have you lied to the Holy Spirit and kept back part of the proceeds for the land?" You know, what he had sold was at his disposal. He could have given any amount without lying. However, Ananias lied because he wanted to appear more generous than he really was. It was an act. But hypocrisy is a serious sin. And as a result of lying to God, Ananias fell dead. Then 3 hours later, his wife Sapphira comes in, not knowing what had happened to her husband. And when she was asked about the amount, she also lies. And so as a result, Sapphira also fell dead for lying. Not only did this couple lie to the apostles, but to the Holy Spirit. And so the main issue is not that they only gave part of their money, it was that they pretended to give everything when they had not. It was a deception. Peter had even said that the money was theirs to do as they wished. The issue was that they tried to deceive in order to be more generous than they really were. It was a false act done for the purpose of recognition. And so they were hypocrites for their actions. Another biblical example of hypocritical giving is in Malachi chapter 1. The Lord God actually says that the priest despised his name. So the priests were given the responsibility to teach God's law to the people, a big responsibility. They had the responsibility to lead the people with righteous devotion to God. Yet they themselves were not devoted. They were simply going through the motions of worshiping him, but the worship was empty. what the priests were doing is they were offering these lame and these sick animals to the Lord instead of the unblemished ones that God had asked for. So outwardly, it gave the appearance of sacrificial worship, but inwardly, their hearts, it lacked sincerity and devotion to God. What they were doing is an attempt to deceive others, performing their priestly duties. Malachi was saying that not even the governor would have accepted these lame, sick animals as a form of taxation. These animals would have been rejected by the governor because they were in such poor shape. Yet, these priests used these sick animals who were about to die anyway, and they used them as a sacrificial offering. This was no sacrifice. These animals weren't worth anything. And so the priests were more concerned about the appearance before people than about reverence to the Lord. These priests did not honor God. They put on a show. They brought these sacrifices that cost them nothing. This hypocrisy was detestable to God because they truly did not worship the Lord in truth. And the Lord will not reward those who deceive for the sake of appearing to be righteous. And for this very reason, we need to be aware of that and examine the purpose of our own giving. Is it for the sake of checking that box, done as an act or a duty? Are you resentful or reluctant about your giving? Or do you give to the Lord from your heart? So beware of the motives of your heart, because Jesus had much to say about hypocrites. And Matthew 15:8-9, Jesus quoted Isaiah 29:13, condemning the religious leaders of his day, and he said this: "These people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." In Matthew 16:6, Jesus compares the hypocrisy of the Pharisees' teachings to the leaven of bread which spreads throughout the loaf. In other words, beware of these false teaching that spreads and corrupts the people. These hypocritical false teachings, they can start small, but if you ignore them, they can quietly shape your thinking and your actions, and they become traditions. And in Matthew 23:27, Jesus describes the hypocrisy of the Pharisees as whitewashed tombs. They appeared beautiful on the outside, but on the inside, they were full of dead people's bones and all uncleanliness, and that's because they were dead in their sin. And then in the very next verse, Jesus says, "So also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." In Matthew 17:15, again, Jesus warns us, "Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." The religious leaders, they appeared to teach God's word, but they were actually guiding people down the wide gate of destruction. So Jesus warns us about these false, deceptive practices. And he explains that the reward that these hypocrites receive at the very end of verse 2 in Matthew 6, Jesus says, "Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward." Now remember, we've covered that word truly in the past. And whenever Jesus uses the word truly, when he starts a sentence, it's because he's making a point that you need to pay attention to. And his point is this, that hypocrites who draw attention to themselves to be recognized for their self-righteous acts, they've received their reward. And do you know what that reward is for practicing good deeds for the sake of being seen? This reward is simply receiving the approval of man and nothing more. That's it. The recognition that you receive is that pat on the back. Good job, Johnny. The applause and the cheers. And for what? A deceptive lie that you're a good person. You know, and that sounds kind of harsh, the way I said it. But Romans chapter 3, verse 12 says, no one does good, not even one. The spiritual mask that you have on, it may fool man, but not God. And the Lord does not reward hypocrisy, but he will punish the unrepentant hypocrite. And we all know that hypocrites, we're all hypocrites. We are all sinners who fall desperately short of God's standard in order to enter into his kingdom in heaven. That may seem gloomy, but there's good news. And it's that the Lord is full of mercy and grace. And he will forgive you if you turn from your sinful ways. And if you humble yourself before him. And you trust in the Lord as your Savior. He'll save you. So what are we to do then? How are we to avoid these hypocritical acts? Well, Matthew 6, 3 and 4 says this. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. You know, there are many different ways that we can give to the needy. Verse 3, it really refers to giving alms to the poor, but there are many times when we give for different reasons, right? Even here at church, sometimes we become in need. Maybe people need money. Maybe it's a material object or a service that you can provide for them. Or maybe it's just simply giving time to help somebody. And so there are many different ways in which we can give to others and help them. And so Jesus uses hyperbole to illustrate what our actions should be like when we give to those in need. And he says, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. You know, when I was researching for this sermon, I was surprised to learn that 85 to 90% of the global population is right-handed. The remaining population, of course, consists of left-handers or ambidextrous individuals. So no offense to you left-handers, if we have any here. The right hand is considered to be the primary hand of action.
Amen.
Amen. So, if you are left-handed, you could just flip-flop the whole scenario. What's important is that we understand the point that's being made here, that most of us use our right hand more than we do our left, and we do it without thinking about it. We don't think about it. So what this saying implies is that our giving should be a natural act. Just as our right hand naturally does most of the work without a thought, so should our good deeds be done. So that others are not aware of what we do. In other words, don't make a show of your giving, of the things that you do. Don't do it for recognition, but give quietly to avoid seeking that public praise. We need to humble ourselves. We need to do away with our pride. Our giving should be done out of love for those who are in need. And once you give and that need is met, go on and do your daily task and don't seek for recognition and praise. What is done should be done in secret and not mentioned to other people. Don't blow a trumpet for others to hear and to see you, because then you're just glorifying yourself. That's the whole reason that we put the giving box in the very back here at, can I say, Mountainside Bible Church? So that you can give discreetly. What you have given is truly between you and the Lord. And when he sees what you've done in secret, he'll reward you. Now, if you remember earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus made this statement, and it may seem to conflict what we're studying here today. And this is in Matthew 15, 16. Jesus says this, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. This appears to be a conflict. But I say there's no conflict at all in these two verses, because these verses are about two different perspectives of the attitude of the heart. So if your intention is focused on giving glory to the Father who is in heaven and not on yourself, God is pleased. He knows your heart. Our giving should be motivated by our love for God. We love because he loved us first. Because the love of God, it's within. And so we desire to direct people to him. It is the Lord who saves people. He is the one who gives everlasting life. As his servants, we can plant the seed, we can water the seed, but it is the Lord who does the growing, if that's his will. And that's why we shine the light of the Lord before others. It is not our light, because we don't have a light, not without the Lord. It is his light. Philippians 3:3 says, for we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. The true kingdom citizen gives all the credit when he is in Christ. He gives that credit to the Lord, not in the sinful flesh, which has no capacity to merit salvation or to please God. Therefore, good deeds truly done for the glory of God should be seen by others so that they in turn will come to the Lord, which brings him glory. So this differs from our study today, because Matthew 5:16, our verses today, Matthew 6, verses 1 through 4, is referring to the sin of hypocrisy and giving for the sake of receiving glory for yourself rather than for God. So there's a big difference here. Doing deeds or giving hypocritically for the purpose of being seen by others and appear righteous, that is to reject God. Giving done for show, it's a hollow act. It appears to be generous, just like Ananias and Sapphira, but it really isn't. It's self-promotion. So if you're giving for the sake of your own glory, what good is that other than temporary recognition? Because I assure you that temporary praise that you receive from others will soon fade away by the time tomorrow comes. But I want you to know and understand this, that God is omniscient. He is discerning of the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Therefore, whatever you do, do it heartedly, as to the Lord and not to men. Give your very best in all that you do, not as an act, but with sincerity of the heart, because you are serving the one true God. Amen. And the Father who sees the intentions of your heart, he sees your heart. It will bring glory to him, and he will reward you richly. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about giving with the right heart motive. And it brought to mind 2 Corinthians 9:6, which says, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one of us must give as he decided in his heart, not reluctantly, not under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So, if you are generous in your giving, it leads to a generous heavenly reward. Now, let me clarify that I am not preaching the prosperity gospel here, which is no gospel at all. We're not trying to manipulate our blessings by how much we give. So you need to understand this. If you sow bountifully, you will be blessed deeply. When a believer is generous, giving by faith and trusting in God with a desire to produce the greatest possible blessing, that person will receive that kind of blessing in return. So Proverbs 11:25 says, whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will be watered, will himself be watered. But what if you're stingy? Maybe you're not giving at all. So what does this mean? What then will you reap? Will it be little or nothing at all? Proverbs 11:24 says, one gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. We are all stewards in what God has given to us. And a steward is somebody who is given the task of supervising in an estate, watching over the servants of the estate and keeping the accounts of their master. And so the Lord has provided for each one of us. He has given everything that we have is thanks to God. And so for this reason, we have a responsibility to use what he has given to us for his glory. Psalm 50 verse 10 says, for every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. In other words, everything belongs to God, and he is able to provide for his people. And so as kingdom citizens, we are stewards and are called to use these provisions that he has given to us all for his glory. We give to help provide for others as faithful servants to the Lord. And when we do that, he is pleased. When your Father who is in heaven, when he sees that your giving is done with the right heart motive, he will reward you. So in closing, I'd like for us to consider the two motives of the heart. First, the kingdom citizen. He has a humble heart that does not seek recognition or praise. It is selfless and willing to serve for the glory of God. And in comparison, the Pharisee or the hypocrite seeks to serve themselves and put on a show for the purpose of being recognized and seen by others. And so I ask you this morning, what is the condition of your heart? Jesus warns us about being a hypocrite. And so we must be vigilant and watchful. Beware not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. Because the consequences for the unrepentant hypocrite is that you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. The final eternal punishment is to be thrown into the lake of fire forever and ever. And so Jesus is saying to the Pharisees and to the Jews, and by extension to us and to all people throughout history, that there is only one way into enter into the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. Jesus is exclusively the only way. Jesus is the good news of the gospel, and the kingdom of heaven is a gracious gift to those who are poor in spirit, those who wholeheartedly trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. They will inherit eternal life in his kingdom. He is our only hope. This hope is our treasure in heaven, an eternal treasure where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And even though we don't deserve it, God gave to those who believe the wonderful gift of salvation. Therefore, with joy and adoration to our Lord, we must model his love and give from our heart and do it for his glory. I want to give you an example of a kingdom citizen with the right heart motive. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the Macedonians, they were extremely poor. We're talking about rock-bottom poverty, to the point where they were beggars on the street. Yet despite their difficult circumstances, they were filled with joy in Christ. It was a kind of joy that overflowed into generosity. They gave beyond what seemed possible, not reluctantly, not begrudgingly, but willingly. They actually begged to be a part of supporting other believers. Can you just imagine what it would be like if we all had that same kind of heart attitude as the Macedonians? And I also call you to remember our Lord Jesus, who is the ultimate example of sacrificial giving. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. Jesus, he is God. He owns everything. He is all powerful. He is almighty. He is sovereign over all. He is seated on his throne in heaven up above. He is Lord of lords and King of kings. Yet he became poor in his incarnation. He laid aside his divine nature, something that is to be grasped. He left his place with God the Father in heaven, and he took on human form, living a perfectly righteous life during his life here on earth, so that we who believe would be credited with his righteousness. He died on the cross like a common criminal, paying for the sins that you and I have committed. He did not deserve that, but he did it so that we might become rich. That's how much he loves us. Christ gave up his life so that believers could become spiritually rich in salvation, rich in forgiveness, rich in joy, rich in peace, and having everlasting life. How great is our God who gave believers magnanimous proportions of mercy and grace. And so as kingdom citizens, our generosity should flow from the joy that we have in Christ, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. May the glory be to our great God and all that we do. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, our dear Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit, you are amazing. You are above all. You are the creator of the heavens and the earth. So, dear Lord, we pray that we would be mindful of our hearts, that we would examine our hearts, that we would even do heart surgery. It may even be painful, dear Lord, but we pray that you would convict us of our sinfulness, that we would walk in a manner worthy of you, that we would do everything for your glory and not for ourselves. I pray that we would be convicted this morning of this sermon, and that we would apply it to our lives, and that we would be faithful servants to be the salt and the light of the earth, a Christ-like example for others to see. Oh, dear Lord, we love you, we praise you, we especially thank you for the finished work of the cross, and we pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.